If you're looking for excuses and you're looking for reasons that things won't work out, the world will happily give you those. What you really want as a human being, if nobody else has a deciding factor in it, that's where we want to build your values from. I think we all know what's right. We all know what's right for us. The advice I give a lot of people is...
Most of us are taught to chase the big paychecks, titles, and status, but what if that's the wrong path altogether? Our guest today is here to talk about flipping the script when it comes to success and why fulfillment should come from aligning with your true values. Welcome to the Learn It All podcast, the show for today's leaders who want to get ahead and stay ahead of the game, because we know that great leaders aren't born or made, they are constantly in the making. I'm your host, Damon Lemby. I'm a two-time best-selling author and CEO of Learn It, a live learning platform that has helped upskill over 2 million people over the past 3 decades. I'm super excited about our guest today. His name is Roderick Linhart, and Roderick is the best-selling author of a book called The Million Dollar Flip-Flops. He's also got a great podcast called Million Dollar Flip-Flops, and he's a business coach. And one of the things that I admire most about Roderick is that his goal, his mission, is to send over 1 million student leaders abroad over his lifetime. We're going to discuss why success should not be solely defined by money alone. We're also going to talk about his WAVES methodology, which you can use as your personal decision-making filter and redefining your why to prevent burnout. The opening words of your book are, "What if my whole life has been wrong?" Can you share with our audience what you mean by that?
That came from... It's a book, it's a Tolstoy book called The Death of Ivan Illich that I read when I was probably 17 or 18. And spoiler alert for anybody that's going to go buy the book now, the main character, Ivan, he's on his deathbed and he looks up at his wife and he says, "What if my whole life had been wrong?" And I get chills saying it to you right now. I got chills when I read it the first time and I interject it into, I just gave a keynote for 2,500 people in New York, and you just watch the faces drop when you say that. So it's something I have never stopped thinking about for all my adult years.
I've been fortunate. I've been able to grow up with my dad was a successful businessman and a lot of his friends, Roderick. And, you know, I bet you, some of them on their deathbed could be thinking the same thing. You know, they made all this money, but they were never around to be a great dad or to spend time with their family or really do the things. They're always trying to accumulate more over and over and over again. And so when I saw that statement, it really stuck with me. So that's awesome.
Well, we call it right map, wrong mountain. You know, it's nobody's fault. You know, we're given those tools by society and by our parents and by a lot of different people of what success looks like. And that's what we're taught to chase.
How did your journey start as an entrepreneur?
My journey, actually, my first official business, I was 17, 18 years old. But, you know, we grew up with no money in Michigan and a little one bath house. And I learned really young that if I wanted to buy a Nintendo, I'm dating myself, or shoes, or, you know, something for school or a new bike, or, you know, mom and dad weren't going to buy it. And so I was that kid knocking on doors, seeing if I could mow lawns or wash cars, or, you know, every candy drive at school, I would go down to the golf course at the end of the street and every day after school, pick up golf balls that people shanked into the woods and sell them back to the golfers on Saturdays. And, you know, I learned a lot when I was really, really young, just about not being afraid to talk to the public and not being afraid to make an offer. And, you know, that offer might be 6 golf balls for $2, but, you know, they're lessons I still use today.
In your book, one of the things that kind of struck me right away was, what did your mother tell you? She said, anything is possible as long as you're willing to put the work into it.
Yeah. My mom, you know, she wasn't a business person, but she gave me, and unfortunately she passed away a couple of years back, but
I'm sorry.
She gave me more life lessons like that than I could even begin to count, and instilled in me really early just that belief that I really could do anything. You know, the people are out there that are willing to teach you, the books that are out there that you're willing to learn from, you can do it. You just have to apply yourself. And I watched that be true at every stage of my life.
And what advice do you have for people out there who maybe might say, okay, well, great, this guy's been able to do it, but that doesn't apply to me as well. Where should they start?
They need to start inside, you know, and I was just having this conversation with a coaching client of mine earlier. You know, we sell people what they think they need, and then we give them what they actually need in most in most real world examples. And, you know, the people who have that belief, the first thing they need to figure out is why they have that belief. And it came from somewhere. You know, it came from their parents, it came from their society, it came from their country. You know, there's different reasons that they believe that, but there are myriad examples of take an Oprah or somebody like that, that, you know, was raped when she was 9 years old. And there's nothing that should tell you that she should be a billionaire, but she did it. You know, there's so many of those stories. And I don't know who said it, but, you know, if you think you're right or you think you're wrong, you're right.
Yep, exactly.
You know, it's what you decide to focus on. And if you're looking for excuses and you're looking for reasons that things won't work out, the world will happily give you those. All you have to do is change your mind frame.
Absolutely. I mean, I've got a friend who grew up in Boston. He was one of seven kids. His mom was a prostitute. You know, five or six of the kids are either dead or in jail. And he's incredibly successful now. And it's because he just chose not to be a victim. And he was also, was really fortunate. He met a woman who helped get him out of that too, who ended up being his wife. And he had some great coaches and mentors along the way, but it's true. I mean, it's no matter what kind of situation you're in, you can get out of it if you believe in yourself and put the effort in. Right.
Yeah. I heard somebody say the other day, you know, you hang out with broke people and talk about broke stuff and do broke things and you end up broke. You know, you hang out with five millionaires all day, you're probably gonna be the sixth millionaire.
As long as you are curious and listen and ask questions.
Yeah. How much of life is who we surround ourselves with? You know, and it's a choice. That's where people get stuck. It's a choice.
So tell me a little bit more about your book and your coaching service. What does your book and coaching service help your clients with?
So they're kind of separate things. You know, I sold my business a couple of years back and I decided to write the book because for years people were like, dude, how do you do it? Dude, how do you do it? Like if I was ever with somebody at a bar, they caught me, you know, tailgating my truck, you're like, man, how are you doing it? And what they meant by that was I built a lot of successful businesses, but I visited 60 countries on six continents and I was able to be with my mom for the last month before she died. And, you know, I get to spend time with my grandparents and I did all those things while having successful companies. I didn't live under this illusion that I had to work and hustle and grind and work and hustle and grind. And then someday in the future, when I'm 65, I'll be able to buy back my health and buy back my loved ones and buy back the people that I want to have experiences with in life. And I wrote the book as kind of one third manuscript, one third manifesto, and one third manual. You know, it all came out of a really deep, dark time in my life where I built this decision filter for my life so that I would never find myself there again. And I see you have a ton of books. I have probably 1,000 books here. And you know, when I went through that period, I dove into those books and I really just said, how did I end up here? How do I keep it from happening again? And that's what the waves method that is really at the heart of the book. That's really what it is a decision filter. And we can talk more about that. But, you know, we were fortunate. I didn't know if just grandma would buy the book, but it hit number one in seven categories on launch day and became a number one bestseller and all those cool things that are associated with it. And I'll tell you, Damon, the neatest thing for me is yesterday I had a guy, it just said, good day from Australia. That was the subject of the email. And it's a guy that got it on Audible and he listened to it over the weekend while he was snowboarding. And he wrote me an email this long, just telling me how he's already making changes and it impacted his life. And there's just something so neat about that it's just out there forever, you know?
How'd that make you feel when you got that email?
Oh, dude, I got chills telling you about it. You know, it's just one of those, it's an intangible thing. And I tell people, you don't write a book to make money. You know, I think that's what people don't understand about the publishing industry. The average, and this, it's even worse now with Amazon self-publishing, et cetera, but the average published book sells less than 200 copies ever.
You hear that? Yeah.
And think about that $20 book, that author made $8, right? So that guy's going to make $1,600 ever for writing his book. So you have to be doing it for a different reason. And for me, it was just, I've had so many people ask me this one question. I'm going to put it all down on paper so that when people ask me again, I just go, here, read this.
It's so true. I mean, when I wrote my book, You know, my wife would be like, oh, maybe you'll be a New York Times bestseller. I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. But it's been such a great experience. And one of the inspirations for me writing my book was I wanted to share my story because I was really proud of the team I've been able to build. And people always ask, how are you able to build such a great team? And so I wanted to, and first and foremost, like, if I can do it, they can do it too, you know, and I wanted to be able to share that with them and also have something for my kids, who a big inspiration for me was my dad. He passed away in 2011, and I wanted them to be able to see how he's helped contribute, and hopefully I can be the father to my kids as he was to me. And so, no, it's not about, you know, selling hundreds and thousands of copies. It's about what you can do and how you can impact other people's lives. Now, before we move on to the Waves Method, you mentioned that you were in a really dark place, even after having a very successful business. Can you share a little bit about why you were there?
Yeah, I was mid-20s. I was like 24 or 25 years old. And you have to remember, I grew up with nothing, right? And I had had a bunch of little ventures in way different arenas, you know, from wholesaling stuff to I developed a car part for a Volkswagen that I sold all over the world. They're like this really wide ranging businesses. But I'd always been in real estate. You know, I bought my first house when I was 21. I became a landlord when I was 21. And ultimately, that's what led me into 20 plus years of real estate and development and construction. But 23, 24, I took a job with a Fortune 100 builder who's actually based out of Calabasas, not too far from you. And I was chasing the money. You know, if you really want the summary of what went wrong, I was making more in a month than my parents ever made in a year. And I was anxious and depressed and suicidal. And I had incredible low back pain. And by all other metrics, I'm healthy, but I'm just a miserable human being. And I didn't know why, because, you know, and I don't know if we were talking about it, you know, a little bit before the show too, but it's just that it's right map, wrong mountain. I got to the top of the right mountain that society would tell me would give me happiness and fulfillment and success and all of these things. And it was the wrong mountain for me. And I know we're going to talk about the Waves Method in a minute, but you know, the values portion of that is, if you look at my top values, it's freedom and autonomy and community. Now picture that guy, freedom, autonomy, and community, stuck in a model home. I see three people a week. I have to be there on Easter Sunday. I have to be there on every Saturday. You could have paid me $2 billion a year. I would have been miserable. So, you know, it really almost killed me. And you look back on it now and it seems kind of trite. And, you know, how could you, come on, guy, you know, people listening to this say, well, I would kill for, you know, $250,000 a year when I was 25 years old. And no, you wouldn't. And it's the first chapter of the book. I quote Jim Carrey, who said, you know, I wish everybody could become rich and famous so that they realize that's not it.
Yeah. And that's true. And we were talking about that earlier with my dad's friends, or there's gotta be more to life and purpose than just a scorecard of making money. I mean, don't get me wrong, it helps. It helps give you some freedom, right? To be able to do things and experiment and give back. And I really want to talk more about your foundation and your goal to send students abroad. But can you walk us through the Waves Method?
Yeah. So the best way to frame it is think of it as a decision filter. So instead of saying, okay, I'm going to take this job, I'm going to invest in this new company, I'm going to have kids, I'm going to move across the country. The Waves Method, I'll start with the W, is your why. And we hear a lot about that. You can go look at Simon Sinek. There's a billion people talking about your why. And your why is very broad. The A in Waves is authenticity. And the reason I put that in between your Y and the V values is because of exactly what we were talking about. You're raised to think a certain way, and you eventually come to the realization that they're not your thoughts. They're your parents' thoughts. They're your partner's thoughts. They're your pastor's thoughts. They're your community's thoughts. And if you go into a values exercise, and I'll give you a great example, but you go into a values exercise from anything but a place of 100% authenticity. What you really want as a human being, if nobody else has a deciding factor in it, that's where we want to build your values from. And the example I'll give you on the V in Waves values is parents. You know, invariably, when I work with somebody and they do a values exercise, they will have family as one of their top values. And I'm like a toddler in these sessions. But why? But why is family? But why? But why? Right? I'm 3 years old. And you get down to the point where family's not really one of their top values. And that's okay. You don't have to have family be your number one value to be a great dad, to be a great mom. You being the best version of yourself is what makes you a great dad and a great mom. And I use that example because it resonates for a lot of people. But once we go through your values, and you'll end up with maybe 20 or 30, we group them into four or five categories so that they're actionable and they're things that you can think about on a daily basis. And that's where you go to the Ian Waves, which is exploration. And there's times in your life where you feel like everything's flowing, you know, you're happy, the days just coast by, everything just seems to click, right? And you take that values list you've built and you say, what values have I been honoring that make me feel this way? And then you take the inverse, everything's crap, nothing's working out, I feel hopeless. What values are you not honoring? And that was me when I was 24 years old. You know, what values am I not honoring that is making me so miserable right now? And when you took the time and realized that freedom and autonomy are at the top of that list, well, duh. And that's why you need somebody from the outside looking in, because I couldn't see it. I'm too close to this. It's why we tape our baseball swing. It's why we tape our golf swing. You know, you can't see the label from inside the bottle. And once you do that, the S in Waves is a statement of purpose. And I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of business owners. I mainly focus on helping people reclaim their time. And the statement of purpose is for you. And you would be amazed, Damon, the business owners that come in, everybody has a business mission statement, right? You're taught that in college. You're taught that online. I got to have a mission statement for my business. But nobody has a statement for what they want their life to look like. What do you want your life to look like 5 years from now? What do you want your week to look like? Your days? How do you want to get up in the morning? Who do you want to be associating with? What conversations do you want to be having? That's your statement of purpose. And now go back to the very beginning where I said it was a decision filter. Now you're saying, okay, I'm going to move from Sausalito to the Bronx. Is that a good decision? Well, you can pull out a yes or no list and start making X's.
Pros and cons.
Or you can say, does this meet my why? If it does, all right, you made it through that level. Does it match at least 80% of my values that I've already pre-identified as are really important to me? All right, I made it through that. And does it move me closer to my statement of purpose? Now you have an answer. And you have an answer from a machine you've built by yourself for yourself. So that doesn't mean the next thing that you do is going to be right, but your chances of success go way, way, way up.
And the Waves method, it can be fluid too, right? Because it doesn't have to be, it's stuck in stone. Maybe I want to move to the Bronx, but maybe that will change. That's okay. But at least it's a starting point. Going back to values, I mean, you work with hundreds, if not thousands of individuals. Do you see a common theme on what their true values really are? Meaning that they might say family, but as you act like a toddler and you why three or four times, is there a common theme to what they truly are, their values?
Yeah. I mean, the themes you see over time, definitely with business owners, is money is way too high on the list. If you look at it in terms of the things that the ego would want you to say are important versus what are actually important that make you a happy human being, That's the deciding factor. That's what splits it down the middle. And once you do this work, and certainly once you have somebody from the outside looking and helping you do it, whether it's me or someone else or someone you trust, and I want to talk about why friends and family are the worst place for advice, because that's
I had that on my list. Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah.
But, you know, once you do that, you start to realize that time and health and the things that, you know, the billionaire would spend his $1 billion to get one more week of healthy living. You know, those are the things that are really important. And you can have both. It just all comes, you have to design your life. Like, you have to spend as much time designing your life as you spend looking up car reviews or booking plane flights or trying to save 12 cents on gas. Yeah. You have to put as much effort into the big picture as you do anything else.
When you said that, it reminds me of my father, who was very successful and a great man. But when he was going through cancer, Roderick, he'd give $1 billion to have one more week and just to be with his family or do whatever. And it's so true. Now, as for your why, you say, though, that it can't include power, money, or notoriety. Why is that?
Because we just talked about when you split the ego out of it, right? What does the ego want? Power, money, and notoriety. And we don't even know why. We don't even know why we want those things. And when you really boil down what most people want money for, it's because they want to be able to do what they want, when they want, with who they want. That doesn't mean you need $1 billion in the bank. It means you can build a life. I'm doing what I want, when I want, with who I want, you, Damon, because I've designed a life that looks this way.
Exactly. And it's giving you, just to get off subject here a little bit, but this is something I'm curious about, is giving you the opportunity to head up a foundation to help children, but also to travel the world and see, I believe, over 60 countries and 6 continents. Roderick, what have you learned from your travels?
It's probably a great time to talk about the foundation, because that's ultimately, and we're back to my mom, but that's what inspired my love of travel at a really young age. And I'll give you a little primer on what, so the foundation is called Send a Student Leader Abroad. So you can go to sendastudentleaderabroad.org. Or sasla.org, not salsa, sasla. My accountant still says it wrong every time.
Tesla, sasla.
But, you know, the idea is, think about the kid in school. We're partnered with EF Tours, and EF's a huge, amazing company. We were talking before the show, you know, $7 billion company with 70,000 employees. They do amazing work, and not just travel. They do linguistics, and they do gap years, and they do things for adults as well. But when you think of what we're offering, think middle school kid who gets to go to Europe during summer break with his classmates, right? We all have heard of that or know somebody that's done that, et cetera. And we want to offer that opportunity to kids who they've got the grit and the hustle and the determination and they deserve it, but their family situation dictates that something, the trip's, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 bucks. And that might as well be $1 billion for some families. And we want to give them that opportunity, and it's not a freebie. They work for it and they do a business plan and they've got to come to meetings and we bring in a bunch of guest speakers and it's an education for them at the same time. But ultimately, if they don't earn the money, we pay for the trip. And the reason I chose that is where I wanted to focus basically the second half of my life, is because travel teaches you something that no book, no movie, no seminar ever can. And it's empathy and it's resilience. And there's things when you go to the other side of the world that you start to realize, certainly being based in the States or really any Western culture, but you start to realize that we're all the same, man. All 7-8 billion of us, we just want a better life for our kids. We want a warm meal. We want a roof over our heads. And ultimately you start to realize there is no them. There's only us. And when you hear people talk about them and they did this and they think this way and they are these kind of people, generally those people are not very well traveled. And I want to offer that opportunity to kids who might otherwise not have that opportunity, but also are going to take that experience back to a community that's not having those conversations. And that ripple effect is what I'm after. And the reason I do all this is because I was that kid. I was that kid who couldn't afford that trip, and I can still hear my mom and dad screaming about it. My bedroom was 10 feet from the kitchen. My dad's just screaming that we don't have the money, and mom's like, but he has to go.
That's amazing. I heard you speak about this before, getting these kids out to other parts of the world that, you know, have you ever met somebody in Russia, right? You're taught to hate them, but how do you know that they're any different really than you are, right, Roderick?
Yeah. Wayne Dyer is a huge mentor of mine throughout my entire life. If, you know, I've probably read more and listened to more Wayne Dyer than any other author or teacher. And in one of his audiobooks, he talks about, you know, we have this history of who we're taught to hate. We got to hate the French. Now we got to hate the Mexicans. Now we got to hate the Russians. Now we got to hate everybody that's Arab. Now we got to hate the Israelis. Now we got to. And if you ask 100 people in a room, do you, like, to your point, do you know anybody that is Russian? Do you know any French people that you hate? Well, no. It's just this, our history is just riddled with who we've been taught to hate based on our leaders. And that's a whole other podcast, but that's where travel really, it takes all of that bias away. It can't help but do it.
And really, it sounds like your end goal is through this travel is to get these young minds, these individuals throughout, you know, travel abroad, come back with a different perspective, a different mindset, with also the empathy, resilience, and persistence and everything you're talking about, but to form and become stronger leaders for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you can have an experience like that and not, you know, travel changes you, period. And I think I've got a bunch of Bourdain books back there, but I think he's one of the first people that really harped on that the most. You know, you travel and you experience another culture, you leave that a different person. It leaves its mark on you and you're different on the other side. And that's really the experience that we want to give to these kids.
And I don't know, similar but different, I don't know what the study is, but it shows, studies have shown that when you're building a team, a work team, and you have people from different cultures who have spent time or lived in different countries or different experience, your chance for success are much greater because they have all this different culture and these different views and opinions instead of just being stuck with this one narrow-minded track.
Absolutely. I mean, there's not, you know, we talk a lot in coaching circles about how you are the niche, right? Like you, when I offer something to you, there may be another guy that will help you reclaim your time, but he doesn't have my life experience. He hasn't read all the books I've read. He hasn't been all the places I've been. He hasn't had this conversation with Damon on a Tuesday, you know, and all of those things, they shape who I am and then they shape how I help you differently. And so when you can bring more of those disparate parts into a cohesive unit, that's how you get well-rounded projects, well-rounded teams, well-rounded companies.
You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can learn from other experiences and mistakes that others have made or successes and use those for your own.
It's like having, you know, 12 cameras around your car instead of the one backup camera. Like you have a lot more information about if you're going to run into something or go the wrong way when you have the 12 cameras versus the one, right? 12 Absolutely. Different angles.
Absolutely. But I want to touch on, because we talked about it a second ago, a while ago, but why is it that you believe that your parent, your family and friends are the last people you should be getting advice from?
This one, you either love it or you hate it. And I just gave a graduation, it was a commencement speech up in New York, and 2,500 people in the audience, 300 and some graduates. And it was part of my 15 minutes, and all the friends and family are there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Telling these right? kids, yeah.
Here's why you shouldn't listen to these people.
Don't listen to Uncle Bob who right. wants to tell you how to, you know, start your own business or not to do it.
Most people are a good example of what not to do in life. You know, that's valuable too. But the reason I say that, and it's I can put it succinctly, is that your friends and family hold you back. And it's not because they don't love you. It is because they love you that they hold you back. You know, if you have a business idea and you're like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be a billionaire, it's going to be so great. Well, your friend or your cousin or your partner, even, they're afraid of who you're going to become and you'll leave them behind. And one of the biggest lessons I give when I talk specifically with high school kids that are moving on to college life or the military or a career, is we're not all on the same path and we're not all going to grow at the same speed. And you are going to leave people behind and people are going to leave you behind. And that is good for everyone involved.
And I want to piggyback on that. I think one of the things I like to tell a lot of the people that I mentor is they get frustrated because they're always comparing themselves to others. And we all develop differently and we all go different routes. So I believe that we should focus our energy on ourselves and our direction and not worry so much what other people are doing.
I'm not any better than anyone else, but I'm better than I used to be.
No, that's great. Well, Roderick, I've had a great time speaking with you today. Before we wrap up, what other advice do you have for individuals out there who are maybe looking to, who are entrepreneurs, but maybe they're frustrated and they don't really know what they want their legacy to be or what they really want to do with their lives?
I would argue that they do know. I think we all know what's right. We all know what's right for us. And the advice I give a lot of people is you only need so much information. And eventually you have to lean on inspiration. And there are those things that just tug at you and you're like, oh, I really want to write that book. You know, I really think this would be a great business. But you never do it because you're listening to Uncle Buck back behind you at the graduation. And there comes a point when it just requires action. and that very first important step. And, you know, the book, other than the Waves Method, is it's really designed, you know, the subtitle of the book is Peace, Prosperity, and the Courage to Change Course in Life and Business. And if you had to ask me what my one superpower has been for the last 40 years, it's that I'm not afraid to stop on a dime and do a 180 and change. And okay, we need to go in a different direction. And trusting your instincts and using something like the Waves Method to build the tools, which are your tools. They're not my tools. They're your tools. I'm just helping you discover them. Using something like that, focusing on your why, focusing on your values, reflecting on your SOP every day, your statement of purpose, will always push you in the right, quote unquote, right direction.
I think that's great. And I think what's great about, as we wrap up here, what you said is it's okay to quit something. You know, a lot of times, whether you want to say it's a Western culture or our families, whatever, you always think that you can't quit something and you have to stay with it, even if you're miserable. There's a great book, I'm sure you probably read it, Range by David Epstein. And he talks about somebody who went to medical school because their parents told them they had to, and they went through all of this and they were just so miserable until they finally made the change and they got into a different line of work. And that's so true. So we had a great conversation today. We talked about the importance of freedom, time, how there's more to life than money, and but it's helpful. And how can our audience get in touch with you or connect with you?
Super easy to find. First, you can buy the book, Million Dollar Flip Flops, at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or anywhere that there are books, your local bookstore. At Million Dollar Flip Flops on every single channel, milliondollarflipflops.com. And for the listeners, there's a bunch of bonuses. You can read the first two chapters for free. There's a bunch of free workbooks and et cetera. So, and all the profits, 100% of everything we do goes to the foundation. So
that's fantastic. Listeners, I want to repeat that 100% of the profits go towards the foundation. And I recommend checking out his podcast as well, Million Dollar Flip Flop. He's got great solo episodes in there around, you know, the five phases of entrepreneurship and other things. So go buy the book like I did. And for you listeners out there, if you got value, which I'm sure you did, do me a favor, text this episode to a friend of yours who could also get value out of it. And until next time, stay curious and keep learning. Have a great day, everybody.